Welcome to Music and the Message from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Gilberts, Illinois. We pray this blend of musical praise and the spoken word will enlighten your day and bring you closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The following readings and sermon are from the 9 a.m. service on Sunday, August 7th, 2022.
Testament reading for the ninth Sunday after Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson comes from Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of the things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, but God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found, but God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many of the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, and not having received the things promised, but having seen them, greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They neither have storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the needy, provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is the gospel of our Lord. mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you recall last week's sermon about that rich farmer who planned on storing up all his crops and putting up his feet and living out his days in ease? Do you remember how God called that man a fool? Do you ever wonder why God did that? Because the man planned on enjoying the fruits of his labor? Because he was planning for his future? Well, no, in reality, that man had no future plan at all. That man suffered from a case of misplaced faith. That foolish farmer had placed his faith in a stump. He was very rich in the things of this world. He was very poor in the things of God. He relied on his things for security and comfort. For these things he had labored, and in these things he took his pleasure. But in the end, when he died, his earthly wealth did nothing for him. And so, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, may you never forget that faith is a gift from Almighty God to you, a gift which the Holy Spirit creates in us, a blessed possession that you ought to treasure above all earthly things. It is faith that is to be cherished. It is to be directed to the Lord Jesus Christ and to word and sacrament, in study and in prayer. Faith is to inform your every thought, word, and deed. Here in church on Sunday morning, and out there in this broken world each and every day. For it is only by faith that you can hold on to the promises that God has given to you through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. What a treasured possession indeed. God gives us many things. God has also given to you the gift of your senses. And those senses tell you a lot about this material world. And I'm sure you'll agree that the abilities to see, hear, smell, taste, and touch are wonderful gifts by which all of humanity benefits from these things we find here on Earth. But more often than not, our senses can lead us to those things which are displeasing to God and very dangerous for us. Because we are born into this world in sin and therefore set apart from God, our desire for such things is natural. Human nature, right? It is quite natural for people to believe that this world is all that there is. Why, even we who have received the gift of faith and know better must struggle with the appetites of the sinful human flesh. And we too grow anxious over the very things of which Jesus tells us not to worry. Jesus understands. He understands how easy it can be to become anxious about food when you are hungry and about clothing when you are dressed in rags. Now, is anyone here anxious about those things? In a community that enjoys more than its share of life's good things, you shouldn't be, but you likely are. You know, here in our country, government, private, and religious institutions have been established to provide food and drink, clothing and shelter, and financial assistance to even the poorest among us. Now, we'd all agree our system is not perfect by any means, but even people who identify themselves as poor enjoy satellite or cable TV, iPads, smartphones, and a whole host of other conveniences that are not typically thought of as being life's conveniences. So who can deny that we, the people of this nation, have it pretty good? And so why do people, both rich and poor alike, according to this society's standards, continue to be anxious about those things they do not have and over which they have no control? It's the way we are. Historically speaking, human beings are worriers. Why? We worry even when things are perfect. Now, someone might say, perfect? What's perfect? Well, the world once was perfect. The man and woman had it all. But the devil planted seeds of doubt. They started to wonder, could God be holding something back from us?
Why that prohibition on one tree? When an anxious Eve worried over what she might be missing, both she and Adam exchanged the word of God for the devil's lies. That, my friends, is what we have inherited from our ancestors. Who here sees their worries as being unfaithful to God? Let's say your son or your grandson is stationed overseas. Let's say your daughter is caught up in a troubled marriage. Your parents are no longer able to care for themselves. Your kids or your grandkids aren't going to church anymore. And their kids haven't even been baptized. These are legitimate concerns, are they not? So, how can our heartfelt worries for the people we love be considered a sin? How? Let me ask you a question. Do you trust God? If the answer is yes, please raise your hand. Good. Okay. Another question. Can you rely upon God in times of trouble? If the answer is yes, raise your hand. You put them down. Thank you very much. That's really good. And so, what are you worried about? Does your worrying change anything? Does your worrying make anything better? No, it makes things worse. Did you hear what Jesus said? Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Don't you know that worrying does just the opposite? And then if you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Well, actually, my friends, I can answer that. It's the way we are. And since we are all sinners, what can we do about that? Well, you can do this. You can listen to the Lord Jesus Christ, who says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing." Now, I suppose someone might think, oh, sure, it's as easy as that, huh? Jesus wants me to pull myself up by my bootstraps and get with the program. Jesus wants me to have a positive mental attitude. Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Nobody knows what it's like. But Jesus wants me to focus on the important things and everything will be just fine, right? How is that going to work out? Well, that's not going to work out well at all, because that's not what Jesus says here. Again, my friends, are you listening to Jesus? He doesn't tell us just that life is more than food. He gives us food. He gives us clothing. He gives us everything we need. And most importantly, he gives us life. And not just any ordinary life. For life with Jesus is far more than this brief time here on planet Earth. Our life here is like the fields of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls away. But we have inherited an immortal soul from our first father, Adam, a soul that was breathed into him by the very breath of Almighty God. Therefore, the ends of our lives here on earth are not the end of the road. Our final destination is an eternity. So why? Why are you anxious? Why are you anxious about what you will eat or what you will wear? Jesus feeds the ravens. Jesus clothes the flowers of the field. He does so with a splendor that cannot be compared to the robes of King Solomon. What are you worried about? What do you lack for in this life? Even though nothing you have in this world today will last, you still have all that you need and more. My friends, what we should seek after, what we should desire is this: the imperishable and immortal body which Christ has prepared for us on the last day. And by the way, right now, you're already clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And when our Lord returns, You will be clothed in immortality forever and ever. What should we do? We should echo the words of Isaiah, who writes, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. That's what Christ does. Christ takes the filthy rags of our anxiousness and all our other needless worries to the cross. And there he purchased you for himself. And he covers you with his perfect righteousness. And so, my friends, exactly where did we receive that perfect garment? Right here. Right here. Right here. And how did we receive it? By faith. For faith comes from by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Again, I ask, are you listening to him? Then you can know that the Holy Spirit has chosen to bestow these garments of righteousness on you. As the word of God is taught here in its truth and purity, as it is combined with the waters of holy baptism, as it is combined with the bread and wine by which Jesus gives us his body and blood. Jesus gives us these things. And it is through these precious means which Christ supplies that the Holy Spirit has chosen to create and nurture the miracle of faith in you. And so, when you're feeling a little bit anxious, and the Holy Spirit reminds you that anxiousness is a sin, he will also remind you that you are a baptized child of God. He will remind you that Jesus has redeemed you from sin, death, and the power of the devil. And he did so with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. He will remind you that you are clothed in the perfect righteousness of Christ. And he will remind you that after all your earthly concerns are done and forever gone, you will wear the robes of his righteousness in his kingdom. And you will dwell in his presence forever and evermore. What can you do? You can give thanks. And we can loudly proclaim, thanks be to God. And that's what we shall do in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Music and the Message, brought to you from St. Peter Lutheran Church, located in Gilberts, Illinois. Worship services are held on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., and on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.stpeterlutheran.org. Thanks for listening, and God's blessings on your week.